These Parshas Chukos. I'm actually doing this right now in honor of two different people who inspired me to do it. One of them last week, a guy who's not even in my yeshiva, nor is he in any yeshiva. He's going to a different yeshiva next year. Reached out to me. His name is Eitan, and he asked me. He mentioned to me that it's not fair that in the summertime you don't have any students, but there are people who listen to the shiurim still. So the fact that you don't have any students in yeshiva with you means that you shouldn't give divrei Torah to people in America. I'd like to still hear Torah from you. What do you say, Rabbi? So I didn't really make a whole new one. I just forwarded him some other ones, but I decided he's right, and therefore we're gonna go back to our regular schedule. The second person is a guy named Yitzi, who's also not coming to my yeshiva next year either, but he's also gonna be in the yeshiva next year, but not mine. Who were part of a WhatsApp group from SSY Kol HaShiurim a few years ago, and he was Mechaya Mason of that WhatsApp group that we hadn't spoken in a long time with the Dvar Torah. So I figured I also will be Mechaya Mason and give Parshas Chukas Dvar Torah. On that note, the Torah portion is a very challenging part, which is actually one of the saddest parts of the Torah, as we know what happens every single year we read it, is Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be making the mistake, the famous mistake of hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Go and gather the troops, gather the nation, you and Aaron, and speak to the Sela in front of them. And give it should give water in front of Klal Yisrael. Commands. And Moshe and Aaron gather the entire congregation next to the rock. Listen, you rebellious ones. From this Sela, from this rock, I'm going to bring forth water. And Moshe picks his hand up with the mate in his hands, and he whacks the rock two times. And lots of water come out, and through that water that come out, he's able to give to the whole congregation, the whole nation, and their flock water. Now it sounds like it's a happy ending, except for the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud-Beis in Perek Chaf. Because you did not believe in me to be makdish, to sanctify me in front of Bnei Yisrael, therefore, I will not allow you to bring this nation into the land. I will give them to Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are many reasons you could say, many things that happened that were not done the way Hashem wanted it to. But what was the problem that Moshe failed lahakdisheni? What was the problem? So Rashi over here will tell us what the problem is. I'm actually speaking to my children right now. Because I need an audience. It's a pleasure speaking to my children. Anyways, Lakti Shani says Rashi, She'ilu dibartem el ha'sela v'otzi, had you spoken to the rock, and the rock would have brought forth water, that would have been found to be sanctified, and would have kissed Hashem from the nation. V'omrim, they would have said the following thing, and it would have been inspiring to them. This rock, which doesn't speak, which doesn't hear, and doesn't need any help supporting itself, it's an inanimate object, Mikhaim Dibur Shemakim, but yet it still fulfills the words of Hashem, what it wants it to do. All the more so we should. That's what Klal Yisrael would be saying. Klal Yisrael should be saying by watching the rock listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's request of speaking with it, and it brings out water. The Bnei Yisrael should make the following Klal Yisrael. If this rock doesn't need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for anything, it's inanimate, it has no feelings, it has no needs, it has no wants, and it still does the Ratzon Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalabore. So, Klal Yisrael, we certainly, who need Hashem in every area, certainly, we should also do the Ratzon of the Bore. And since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and didn't speak to it, for that reason, failed to send that message across to Klal Yisrael. Now, I don't understand that shot at all. I'll tell you why. Because no one except for Aaron and Moshe knew to hit the rock. No one knew to speak to the rock. Only Moshe and Aaron knew. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron hit the rock, which, as far as they knew, that was supposed to happen anyways, and the water came out. The same Klal Vachomer they should have learned out from speaking to the rock, should learn out from hitting the rock. A rock that does not need anything from Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's an inanimate object, and it still does ruts on a bore. Klal Vachomer on, well, it's more so we should be doing that. And since Bnei Yisrael didn't hear Hashem command Moshe to speak to the rock instead of hitting it, so new, well, was lesson not learned? Question number one. Skipping to further in the parsha. We know Miriam, unfortunately, Miriam dies in this week's parsha as well, and they mourn over Miriam. Right after Miriam dies, we're in Perek Chaf Aleph right now, in the beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, The next event takes place that I want to just focus on and put these events together and ask a few questions in them, and then hopefully come up with a mahalik, an approach that can be understood. So we have in Perek of Aleph, the next part of the story, Pasuk Dalva, Yisu Mehor Ahar Derech Yamsuf Lisbov Es Eretz Edom. So now Bnei Israel travels from Hor Ahar, which is the place where Aaron also dies, and they move onwards. It's actually in the news recently. I've seen it all, but it's in Jordan. It's in which part of Jordan is it? Petra, I think it was Petra. There are two separate groups of Hasidic Jews who've dressed up like Arabs and were zochah to visit the kever of Aaron and sing and dance there, and they're videoed on Yeshiva World News and the like. Anyways, we left from that area of Petra, Jordan, of Hor Ahar, Derech Yamsuf, and the nation got frustrated on the way. Why did you take out the Mitzrayim just to die over here? We have no bread, we have no drink, and we can't stand anymore the food that we're getting. Vayishlach Hashem ba'am pasuk vav es hanechashim hasrafim. Hashem sends these nasty snakes and serpents. Vayishchus ha'am, and they would bite the people. Vayamos am rav miyisrael, and a large amount of them died. Vayivoh ha'am el Moshe vayomru chatanu ki dibarnu b'Hashem avach. We've made a mistake. They say we spoke out against you. He's probably al Hashem vayaser me'alino as hanachash. Please daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu and remove the nachash. So he's called Moshe ba'ara'am, and Moshe does daven for the nation. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, asei lecha saraf, v'sim oso al nes. Make a copper snake and place it on a big pole. Vayakol nashuch v'ra'oso v'chai. And whoever sees whoever gets bitten will run to the snake and they will live. Vayas Moshe nachash nachoshech, says the Chumash. Vayismeo al nes vayayim nachshach nachash hanachash ish vibid al nachash nachoshes v'chai. That's how Klal Yisrael is saved from this nachash. Rashi over here explains what's the reason why Dafka over here Hashem sends a nachash. Says Rashi in pasuk vav, Perek Vav, pasuk vav. The Nachash, who was himself punished for the way he spoke, for what he did back in the beginning of creation, how he seduced and with his tongue, he convinced Chava to eat from the tree. So he symbolizes what can be wrong with speech, and he was punished, so too he should represent evil speech and therefore pay back those who also spoke bad. Yavu Nach, and therefore he was the one who came to bite Klal Yisrael. Now what bothers me is the following. If you look at what Klal Yisrael had done over here, what do they say? They say, "V'debera am b'lokim v'moshe, la ma'ali son of Mitzrayim, lus min bar. Why do you take us out of Mitzrayim to die in the desert?" Kein lechem, v'ein mayim, v'nashinim katzav, v'lechem lakol kel. And that's what the Nachash came to bite them for. But if you look back, when Moshe Rabbeinu, in Perek Chaf, one Perek ago, was commanded to bring forth water from the rock, what happened? Also, Bnei Yisrael were complaining. V'yikalu al Moshe v'alaron, Perek Chaf, Parakhaf Pasuk Gimel. After Miriam dies, the Be'er Miriam is gone. They have no water. It says Pasuk Beis Lohe Ma'im La'ida. Vayikulu Moshe Ve'Aaron. Vayirav Am. Vayirav Am. Moshe Ve'Yomru Lo Miyor. Lugavano Bigva Chinu Lufnei Hashem. We should also have died. V'Lame Havesim As Kal Hashem El Midbar Zeh Lamush Sham Anachlu Ve'Reinu. Why did you bring us here to die, us and our flock? V'Lame Elisunim Mitzrayim. V'Yusam El Makom HaRazeh. You brought us to this terrible place. V'Makom Zera Uzeinu Ve'Gevim Rimonu Ma'im An Nishtos. Well, there's nothing here for us. We're done. We're going to die here. It's eerily similar to the next parak we have. The next parak we have, what happens? The Nachash comes down and starts biting us. What was so different from the last time we had this discussion? Instead of Nachash biting us, Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, no, give them water. Get them a rock, give them water. And over here, it's a completely different reaction. Why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu reacting so differently one parak later, when it's almost verbatim the same discussion that happened between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay. Part number three. Question number three is, when it comes to, normally when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plague, picture for a second, the Makos in Mitzrayim, usually Hashem has a plague, when someone davens to be saved from the plague, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Hashem should save the Mitzrayim from the plague. So when he davens, Hashem eventually listens and takes away the plague. Here, Hashem didn't take away the plague. Hashem listened to the tefillah, And instead of taking away the nachas, which you'd expect would be the proper reaction, so Hashem has done time and time again for the Jewish people and for everyone in the world, for that matter. When there's a plague going on, you daven, Hashem removes the plague. Here Hashem kept the plague in action, but created this copper snake. Now, what's shot with that? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to create a copper snake instead of taking the actual plague away? So we have three questions now on the table. I'll repeat them for my children and for those of you listening online. Number one question is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hit the rock, why did Klal Yisrael not learn the lesson? And the same rock that should have does the wishes of Hashem, so too we should call the Chomer Anu, we should the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. The rock doesn't need any Hashem at all. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't have any needs. And we have needs. The rock listens. We should listen. Again, no one knew that Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock instead of hitting it. And for all they were concerned, they should have learned the lesson anyways. Question number two, why Dafka right now do we have the Nachash coming to bite Klal Yisrael to send them a message that they shouldn't speak ill and inappropriately? When one paragraph earlier, when they did the same thing almost verbatim, almost exactly, Hashem actually tried helping them with water, with a rock that gives water. And the third question is when Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Hashem should remove this plague of snakes. So instead of removing it, which Hashem usually would do, he removes the plague. Hashem keeps the plague in place, and he just creates a nachash nechoshes as a refuah, and they're bitten still, but they're able to be saved by looking up at the nachash. Okay, so let's try to answer all these questions with one idea. And that idea is as follows: when they there are certain times in Jewish history when something is supposed to happen and it's supposed to be different, supposed to change. It's changed around the course of history forever. I was learning with listening, my wife and I were listening to a shir online, the Ramchal and Das Atzunos has this lengthy discussion about Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Yachid, and Hashkacha of a Tzibur. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a game plan in mind, and we're all heading to that game plan. And it's going to happen whether you like it or not, and whether you help out or not. There are times when you have your own personal Hashkacha Pratis. For example, I'll give an example of that. When it comes to the Jews in Mitzrayim, we're supposed to be enslaved by the Mitzrim. That was supposed to happen. That was a promise Hashem made. That's where the Jewish people are headed when they go to Mitzrayim. Not every Mitzri has to actually afflict us and serve us and be difficult taskmasters to us. That's a choice they each make. That's how the Rambam explains in Hilchos Teshuvah why the Mitzrim, certain Mitzrim, punished, even though Hashem made a decree, because each one had their own free choice. There's going to be a scenario of slavery. That's where we're heading as a people. But each individual person has free choice how he wants to go about things. Right now in Jewish history, I mean, at that point, the Jewish present, Moshe Rabbeinu has a certain tafkid at hand. Klal Yisrael has yet to learn how to speak and have their speech answered. Up until now, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu tries speaking in front of Klal Yisrael, either something goes wrong, or he goes up to Shemaim and speaks to Hashem, like on Har Sinai. The last time we had, maybe a good time to have done it would have been by Kriyas Yamsuf, and instead Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, don't speak to me. It's not the time to speak. Go, just go through the Yam. They have never learned how to speak and have their tefillos answered, how to daven. For the first time in Jewish history right now, Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, time to educate the Jewish people. We're going to be heading very soon into Eretz Yisrael, and they must know how to address me. After all, the miracles that they've been seeing up to now in the Midbar is not going to happen anymore. No more Mun in Eretz Yisrael. There's no more Be'er. There's no more Anan. You need to learn how to teach them how to daven to me. So go and take a rock and speak to it. And daven to it. And when the Beis Yisrael sees that, what the rock does, they'll make a kal v'chomer. Not that the rock stam listened, but that when you speak and you daven, even the rock will respond. Kal v'chomer, we have to be able, Beis Yisrael has to be able also to bring themselves to a state of tefillah to be able to respond. That lesson was not taught. Now, what's the big deal? The big deal is that right now in Jewish history, it's supposed to be the time for tefillah has begun. Hashem had decided this was the time in Parshas Chukas where now tefillah will be the way we react to situations in the world. And one parak later, we have a new situation that comes up. And we react once again. We don't react with daven. We don't know how to daven yet. We haven't learned how to daven yet. So we're not going to react. We act with fussing. We act with complaining. We react with whining. And Hashem says, as opposed to the last parak, when that was understood, that was the only way we knew how to relate to Hashem, was fussing, complaining, and whining. And Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, give them some water from a rock, help them out. This is no longer the time anymore. Hashem has changed the way to deal with us and the way we're supposed to deal with Him. And even though Moshe didn't teach them, the hashgacha of the world now would be one that was supposed to happen through tefillah. And therefore, we come now, and we have no bread, and we have no water, and we're sick and tired of having all that mun. We get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says to us, you want to complain to me? I'll teach you what it means to speak to me wrongly. Here's an achash that's going to come and bite you. What's different from last time? Because at this point in our history, we should have known better. How? Because Moshe was supposed to teach Klal Yisrael the lesson of what it means to daven. And even though he didn't teach them that lesson, the lesson at this point in time, our reality with God changes. And our job is to react in that way to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore comes the Nachash, says Rashi. And that Nachash is going to bite us, to remind us of what it means to speak inappropriately in this point of our lives. From now on, this is no longer acceptable. And you may wonder then, why did Hashem not remove when we started to work on ourselves? New? Remove the, get what Moshe Rabbeinu davens on our behalf. And he says again, remove the snake. That was a tefillah that was brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu only. No, sorry. He's palel el Hashem. They asked Moshe, Moshe knew daven to Hashem, get rid of the nachash. But he's palel Moshe, but Moshe davens for them. But it's no longer time for Moshe to be davening. It's time for us to be davening. And therefore, Hashem does not take away the plague yet. What does he do? He gives Moshe Rabbeinu the anecdote. The cure for when you're still going to get bitten is the Nachash Nechoshes. Now, Rashi over here quotes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. I'll read the word inside to you. Rashi quotes the following Lashon. Rashi says, one second. Let me find it inside for you. Nachash Nechoshes. Okay, in Perek Ches, also it says, V'chi Nachash, Rabbi Sein, the rabbis taught us in Rosh Hashanah, V'chi Nachash, V'miso, Nachash, Mechayei, does a Nachash kill, or a Nachash causes to live? El Bezmancha Yisrael, Mistaklin Klapim Mala, when Bnei Yisrael look heavenwards, U'mishabim this Libam, L'vim Shabbat Shemayim, and they put their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayu Mishrapim, then they would be healed, V'im Lav Hayu Nimukim, otherwise they would be destroyed. It's actually a beautiful song, and I have some beautiful singers with me right now. We'll put this Mishnah to song, and I turn over for a second to them to enlighten us with music. Which means, I don't usually do that because I don't usually have the great voices among me, but Baruch Hashem we have among us today. Which means that we get bitten, but the Nachash itself would not be the source of our salvation. El Bezmancha Yisrael Mistaklim Klapim Mala, when Bnei Yisrael would be bitten, they would look up towards the heaven where the Nachash Nechosha was found, and that would remind them of the heavens. They would see the heavens in the background. They would then be mishabed their heart to Avim Shabbat Shemayim, then they'd be forgiven. This is lesson 101 in how to daven. The Nachash was kept there to teach Bnei Yisrael. They had to learn the lesson from now on. And Moshe didn't teach them last parak. So how do you teach them right now? Not to say Moshe Rabbeinu knew daven for us. They have to learn it at daven themselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not taking the plague away. The plague is still going to be there, but they must learn how to daven. You can't daven it for them anymore. They must daven for themselves. The Nachash was posted on a big, big stick that was well up above their heads. They had to look up at the stick. And behind the stick was the vast heavens. And by looking at that stick and seeing those vast heavens, they're Meshavim this Libam, Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. My son, you did just remind me also that it's not only the only time we have such an idea when it comes to the chelus as well, the tzitzit string. So why is it blue? Why do we have this color? And the reason why is that the blue should remind you of the seas, remind you of the skies, remind you of Ribono Shel Olam as well. We have many things we do in our lives to try to remind us of where we come from and who we are. And this is the reason why the Nachash stayed around. So all the three questions that we have are answered. Why was it that, what was the lesson that was failed to be learned by Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock? It wasn't that they couldn't see that the rock listened to Hashem. They couldn't see that tefillah brought that about. And that's why the Nachash comes later on and bites him, even though they said nothing different than they said last parak. Because at this point in time, we have a reality on the ground that we must be listening to, and therefore we have to make sure that we are people who are b'nei tefillah, who don't know how to daven. And that's why Hashem does not take away the plague, because we have to learn from this plague still how to go about it in our davening. There are two points I want to bring out over here that I think we should leave as a message for all of us in life in general. Number one, obviously, is the koach of tefillah. Because Baruch Hu gave us this tremendous power of tefillah. We shouldn't be going to our leaders and asking them to doubt on our behalf. You don't send in, you don't go to a gadol and say, Nu, can you daven for me? You have the koach tefillah, each of us have a koach tefillah ourselves. And there's stories in the Gemara of people, individuals, both some who are very big tzaddikim, some are righteous, some less so, that were able to daven for things, and their tefillahs had moved, they moved mountains, and they shook the heavens. And that's the idea. We have to remind ourselves that we have the biggest koach around is the koach tefillah, whatever we want in our lives. But it's a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing we have to remind ourselves of, is that there's a koach of tefillah that will give us the opportunity to get wherever we want in our lives. And most importantly, is to catch up with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's part number one. Part number two, this part will end. The world is moving somewhere. It always has been and it always will be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan in place. And we can choose whether we want to be participators of that master plan or we want to do our own thing. And we have free choice. And you have all the right in the world to do whatever you want to do. But if you choose wrong and you don't see the plan and help the plan be accomplished and get to the proper goals, then it's going to get there anyways, with or without you. Just to our quote from Megillas Esther, Mordechai tells Esther, you think you're going to be able to escape from the palace? You're going to escape from the palace? You're going to be able to avoid everything that happens? You don't understand. There's a game plan here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And there's going to be Revach V'Hatzalah will come to the Jews, Malcolm Acher, and you have two choices. You're a big part of that process, or At U'Beit Avich Yovedu. You and your family will be ruined. So you choose how you want to see the world going through the next stage of life. You want to see that the world passes you by, as Hashem has his master plan filled out, or you can be part of the process. You want to be a spectator, or you want to be a player. And I saw last week, and I'll end with this quick small story, that Lubavitch Rebbe's yahrzeit site was on this past Shabbos, and there was an idea he brought down. He asked some of his the people, boys who came, bar mitzvah boys who came, and they wanted to get a bracha from the Rebbe. He gave them a bracha. He asked one of them on the way out. He said to them, "Are you baseball fans?" So he said, "Yeah." So he said, "Are you Yankees fans or are you Dodger fans?" Back in the day, I guess when the Brooklyn Dodgers were around. So he said, "We're Yankee fans." Or he said, "I'm a Yankee fan." He says, "Nu, and how about your father? Is your father also?" He says, "No, my father doesn't care too much about the game of baseball." He said, "Well, have you gone to a game recently?" He said, "Yeah, I went about 2 months ago to a game." He said, "And how was the game?" He said, "It was actually a terrible game. The Yankees got blown out. They lost 9-2. We left in the seventh inning." So he said, "Did the players also leave in the seventh inning?" He said, "No, the players not to leave early. It's, they're playing the game." He said, "So you can leave only because you're not part of the game." He said, "That's right." So he said to him, "I'll give you a bracha. Your bracha that in life in general, you should always be part of the game. You should never leave early. You should never be able to say to yourself, my participation doesn't really matter at all. I'll come, I'll go, I'll just sit in the stands and watch, and then I'll leave when I want to." Because someone who's playing the game cannot leave early. He's got to make sure that he stays till the last moment. I mentioned this actually in the shmooze I gave recently, but there's a player named Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood, a player for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and in their playoff run, he was really a good player up to this point in time, but he had been not part of the rotation. The rotation, as many people know, when you have a ball game in the playoff time, rotations shrink, which means you don't play the players you used to play. You have a much shorter rotation in the playoffs, and Rodney Hood was on the outs of the rotation. There's one game the Cavaliers were killing. I don't remember what team was playing against even. And they said to Rodney Hood, they already ended like 3 minutes left in the game. They were killing him. He said, "Nu, go in the game." I don't think they said the word "nu," probably not "nu," but said, "Nu, go in the game." And he's like, "Nah, coach, put someone else in." He didn't go in the game. Now they didn't need him to play. They would win without him. But he got a tremendous amount of backlash from the media. How could you say you don't want to go into the game? You have one job. Your job right now is to play the game when the coach tells you to come in. It's the only job you have. It's beneath you. You think it's beneath you to go into the game when the game is out of hand, when it's no longer such a stressful battle anymore? The media ripped upon him. Why? Why does the media rip upon the person who walked out of the stands in the middle of the game? Why don't they rip on him? Because that person's not playing the game. But when you're part of the game, any role you play, you have to do your best and fulfill your role to the fullest if you want to be part of that process. And as we go through life, and Hashem shot at the right time, Mashiach is coming very soon. And that process is happening around us all the time. You look around the media and the world, and there's just craziness going all around us. The process is happening with or without us. We should all be zoche and merit to be able to daven with great kavanah, and to be able to be part of the process that will lead to Klal Yisrael, will lead to the people, the Jewish people, being part of the process that Kadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us. Mr. Shem, we should all merit to see Mashiach come. Amen. Have a great Shabbos.